talking about. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our cheddar stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She
how do we feel about an all-you-can-eat option, gang?
All-you-can-eat?
All-you-can-eat.
It's probably good in your 20s, not good in your 50s, because I don't eat. I really don't eat a lot. Compared to what I used to 10 years ago.
Well, didn't you have to sort of house food in order to wait for the NFL?
Yeah, but this is like in my 40s. There is a drop. Like, the only thing I had today was coffee, mm-hmm. and I will not have anything until 11:30, and I'm fine.
Yeah, the only time you ever eat anything in the morning is if... Like our buddy Justin's here from Cousin Subs, and they've got a new sub you want to try out. You house it when it happens, but, you know.
Fine is relative, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Again, he's got all this water. He's like, man, he's...
all the water. Oh boy. Drinking the water.
You're just a thirsty boy.
I've been going getting after it early.
You
huh?
had that. Again, this is the same
thing
that happened.
The sun's up.
It's the same thing that happened yesterday, and, you know, just be careful when that mic is open and not.
Don't want you belching
during a very sensitive
when
rivalry.
It wasn't even a burp. It's not even a burp. It's not.
Are we back here?
He was all over me today for burping in the microphone. A burp, you have to have an open mouth. My mouth was closed, and it was just
still burp.
I was going to say, do you want another word for it? Like,
yeah, what was it?
A closed mouth burp is a clurp?
It's a quado. Remember Quado from Total Recall?
Well, yeah, your stomach. We've talked about that before.
There's someone in there.
Yeah.
No, so that technically wasn't a burp, and Will choked. Should have had my microphone off.
But you turned it on.
You yelled at me, or you did.
I get in trouble for what she did.
Yeah.
Oh, at the very beginning of the show,
correct.
I said, how much time is it going to take?
The people didn't hear it anyways.
They did.
No.
The people did hear it.
What'd they say?
Chewy burped in the middle of your better
number
health
one,
read.
Most of the people listen on the radio.
Yes.
There's no camera, so they don't know who did it. So if I denied it.
They do.
They know who did it.
I mean, again, the rest of us knew, and we talked about it immediately after. You didn't deny it then. So now to deny it 22 hours later would be a tough look for you.
Very rich. Where do you stand, Gabe, on the old all-you-can-eat option?
Can't remember the last time I had an all-you-can-eat option. Now, when we were in college, like that was an oasis for our coaches because we always got a per diem when we were on the road for baseball, and it would be a much cheaper option for the coaching staff. Okay, we don't have to give every guy 10 bucks or whatever it was. We can just go to the Golden Corral and let these guys go crazy.
That makes sense.
So they, you know, they were always happy whenever they saw a Golden Corral, but I'm pretty sure that would have been the last time I had an all-you-can-eat option.
Back in the day, Dario and I used to do some serious damage at Pottawatomie. Pottawatomie had the all-you-can-eat buffet. It was like 60 bucks a person, but you could sit there for hours and just absolutely dominate some crab legs or some prime rib. So we would do that date night pretty regularly. I didn't even know that we were doing an all-you-can-eat option until we got to our spot on Mother's Day on Sunday morning, Sunday at like 11:30. I told you guys that Dario first booked an 8 a.m. brunch. And I said, we're not doing that. But 11:30 is a decent time. And we walked in and the place was an all-you-can-eat small plate restaurant. And I was like, looking at the options, they had steak, they had pork, they had tacos, they had chicken, it was very, very, very good. But, and we had no issue with this, so I don't want people, you know, jumping down my throat on this, but we were a little surprised that it was mandatory that every person in the party did the all-you-can-eat option, including our 7-year-old and our 5-year-old girls. So 7-year-old girl, 5-year-old girls, they were each, you know, included in the all-you-can-eat, 50 bucks a plate.
50?
Correct.
50.
50 per person.
That's insane.
Hey, you got to make up the money somehow. I mean, somebody's...
50 bucks, though?
Yeah.
I mean, was it quality food?
Terrific.
Oh,
fantastic.
It was?
Amazing.
I can't eat $50 worth of food.
You can. I mean, here's the way we justified it. The steak alone was going to be 22. So you get, and again, they're small plates, small portions, right? It's like a tapas option. And we, I mean, we crushed. I left there. I didn't feel sick. I wasn't like, oh, we really overdid it. But again, in the back of my mind, I'm like, we paid $100 for the 5-year-old and the 7-year-old to have a couple of turkey meatballs and some watermelon. Like,
yeah,
ugh.
That's insane.
If I were to guess, this was precipitated by the poor behavior of patrons in the past.
Oh, they're driving
who
kids
took
away.
Advantage of the all-you-can-eat and said, they're just going to have some fries, and then you look over and they're mowing down some steak, they're mowing down some chicken. If I were to guess, that's where that comes from, of people taking advantage of the system, so now they ruined it for everyone else.
That makes sense. Distinctly possible. Again, we had no issue taking care of it, you know, paying the $50 per girl. But we did say to each other, oh, it seems a little steep.
Right.
When
that's insane.
Well, but $250
for a buffet with your whole family?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Drinks not included.
They should have like an under 12 option.
That's what we said.
Cut the price in half. That way, everyone still has to get it. But the 5-year-old isn't going to be eating $50.
Well, they
even.
Probably don't want kids there.
Yeah, that's the other thing is driving away kids.
Right.
Yep.
That's distinctly possible as well. It was Mother's Day, though. Like, you could think that maybe you throw an exception to, oh, well, we went.
Well,
we
they only want older families, yeah. Right? Like, they would only want someone like me taking my mom to Mother's Day. They don't want the under 12 crowd, and they're trying to drive those
maybe
kids away.
Maybe moms that don't want their kids around.
That too. Maybe mom just wants to treat herself.
It's actually not a bad idea.
How much would my 5-year-old and 7-year-old each have to eat in order to justify $50 per... And again... I certainly ate $50 worth of food. Dario, Chase, same thing, growing boy and whatnot. But again, one turkey meatball, a little bit of Caesar salad, and some watermelon, and the girls called it a day.
There's your margin.
Yeah.
You ate over $50. They weighed way under. They still come out ahead.
Mimosas included?
No. No drinks included.
What are mimosas ever included?
I had bottomless mimosas somewhere.
Yeah, but you got to pay for it.
Bottomless.
That's not a part of the meal. Like, you can get bottomless mimosas aside from the meal.
Well, for Mother's Day, we were in Florida, and it was just me, Ange, and the Angries, and one of their kids. What did they charge for that? But it was bottomless mimosas included.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So, me and Angry made it worth it.
That feels like that's reaching three figs there. Yeah.
Now I can get the $50.
Uh-huh.
John. Now 50. That's attainable.
You know what? That's interesting, though, because you don't really like sugar. You know what sugar's in that orange juice, buddy?
Oh, only a splash.
Oh.
Yes.
Mostly champagne.
We're drinking champagne here.
Yeah.
with a
tickle of orange juice.
Ooh, I like tickle. That's fun.
Yeah.
Tickle, splash, drop, all of those types of portions of orange juice. Were there any other options? We weren't going to tell the girls not to eat. We were already there. We weren't going to leave. So again, we were sort of beholden to their policy. But maybe next time, look ahead, read ahead.
Yeah. I think because I'm sure it was posted on their website.
Can you take a doggy bag from a buffet?
Can you?
Yeah.
Sure. Is it, as Wilde and Tausch like to say, in poor taste? Absolutely.
IPT, which I will tell you this is the other thing, right? So we're trying to figure out like how hungry we are, and the food comes out rotationally. It's coming out as it's made.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Daria's like, oh, we haven't tried the chicken yet. We should get the chicken. Okay, grab the chicken. Oh, we haven't tried the ribs yet. We should try the ribs. Yeah, let's grab the ribs. We get to the end of the meal. We've been there. Oh, and they had a 2-hour maximum sit time. So we didn't even come close to the 2 hours. It was like hour 22. So the lady at the end goes, okay, looks like you guys did a great job. Can I get you any doggy boxes?
Oh.
Mm. I mean, if it's offered.
We were like, doggy boxes? We'll order another round of ribs. So we ended up taking like 3 tacos home with us, a little bit of the tapenade that we hadn't finished, some Caesar salad that didn't get eaten.
Yeah, I mean, if it's offered, then, right. What's
tapenade? I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's like an olive.
Okay.
Diced olives. So, diced Kalamata olives, diced green olives, diced garlic.
The additional piece of knowledge that you gave us where there's a 2-hour limit makes me feel like they had some real problems with people in the past. And they've had to really tamp down on the people who, you know, doing what I did in high school on a free day off and go to the Chinese buffet and sit there for 2 meals but pay for one. Like,
hey, I'm working on my homework.
Right. We were there for 5 hours and we had 2 rounds of meals and they kind of just looked at us because it was, I mean, General Tso's chicken.
It's very obvious what you were doing there. Should we have had to pay? Now, again, I'm not saying that we weren't going to. There was never a point where we were like, we are standing our ground. We are not paying for. But should a restaurant have a policy for kids? Should, again, it's not our fault that other people might have abused the system. We were not intending to abuse the system at all. But, you know, 8 and 8. But then they gave us doggy bags. And it was like, oh, man, if we had known. Now I think they keep that on the hush hush down low, which is why I'm not announcing it to the public, this place's name. But it was wonderful. Should there be a under 12 price for all you can eat? Should that be standard? Under 10, maybe, if you think you got a hungry 11-year-old, a hungry 12-year-old.
Yeah, I was about to say, when did kids really start hitting that growth spurt? Like, when did Chase really start, you know, eating a whole frozen pizza by himself? I feel that's a rite of passage for a kid, where they just throw a frozen pizza in themselves and just house down the whole thing.
Well, that's weird on Mother's Day, that you're jabbing the kids for 50. It's like, I don't want the kids' restaurant saying, yeah, I don't want the kids there, but it's Mother's Day.
Well, yeah, but you don't want the young kids, right? Again, there's older mothers out there that have older kids.
Yeah.
The young, and you hate young kids.
I'd love kids, just my kids.
Yeah, exactly. But you hate young kids. Like, if you went to a place, you would be very happy if they had no under 12 children there.
I like kids. I like teasing Jen when you brought the girls over. I tease, but there's a time limit.
Yeah.
45 minutes, you gotta go.
Seems a little high.
Yeah.
Seems a little high for you.
And then he's like, okay, I've been hanging out with you long enough. We went out on the boat, and Chewie was like, oh, look at the time. Got to go back.
But I've always been a teaser. Like, someone got a little sad at me yesterday on the text chain. I won't mention any names. Because I like stirring the pot. That's what the locker room's all about.
Was it Joshy?
You thinking that I'm not meeting you with the same exact energy has always been so baffling to me.
There were 5 exclamation points. That means you are upset.
That's being dramatic for effect, Chewie. You think I've known you this long and I don't know what you're doing and you're getting under my skin?
I didn't even say it was you.
Yeah. Well, come on.
You're only ever talking about one of two people.
Right. Ashton or Josh.
Correct.
Sorry, I'm over here giving the answers to the
text. How that's translated, Josh?
Huh?
Means I missed you.
I'm never mad at you when I'm responding. I don't know if I have a bad job of texting. I'm just teasing you back.
Yeah. He's meeting your sarcasm with sarcasm.
Maybe I don't like to be teased. I just like to shit out.
Feels like a spot.
It's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
Feels like a spot we should stop down here. Let that sink in for a few moments during the break. We do have Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie. Lots of stuff for us to ask him about, including what is going on in Jaden Reed's camp right now. Plus, the coordinator spoke yesterday. There is so much happening. Giannis, the NBA draft lottery. Holy moly, can we even jam it all in? Stick around, Jen, Gabe, and Chewie, just getting started.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
While we effort Jason Wilde this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie, having some phone issues, let's debrief the folks of the story that popped yesterday about Jaden Reed. So if I am to understand correctly, it sounds like the Green Bay Packers met with Jaden Reed's representatives, which are now Drew Rosenhaus and company. And see, this is where it gets tricky for me. Basically ensured that Jaden Reed was the number one wide receiver. Gabe, am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, so the report that came out from Shefty is Packers GM Brian Gutekunst met last week with Jaden Reed's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, to clarify the wide receiver status in Green Bay after the team drafted Matthew Golden and Savion Williams. Team said it will not affect Reed's status as its top receiver per source.
Yeah, he's top receiver until they want to pay him. And then they'll tell him he's the third receiver.
Or top receiver until somebody
Matthew
beats him
Golden.
Out. Yeah.
Well, so that, guys, if I'm being honest, was where my brain went, does not compute. So you're trying to tell me that Jaden Reed doesn't have to compete with Matthew Golden at all this offseason to be the number one wide receiver? I like Jaden Reed. I like him a lot. You guys know I did that feature with him for College Game Day. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for him. But to sit here and think that he and his representatives can just lift their leg and pee on the number one wide receiver position feels a little entitled. I'm not sure, too, that Jaden Reed has earned that distinction. Has he separated himself enough from the pack to be the de facto number one wide receiver when they went out and spent their first round pick on Matthew Golden?
No, it sounds like this receiver room is full of a bunch of babies. You had Dobbs last year. I'm not playing because I'm not getting enough targets. Well, turns out you were getting the most targets of everyone. Now, Jaden Reed, do you like me or do you like me? I mean, this is ridiculous. Why don't you take the bull by the horns and say, all right, you drafted a number one receiver. I'm going to show you I'm better than him, and I'm going to do it on the field instead of calling your agent and like, I want to trade. It's ridiculous.
And to be fair, I don't know that he said that or that they said that. But the only thing that is interesting to me is, why is this even out there?
I have no
idea. I mean, I understand that Adam Schefter, who we will talk to tomorrow and maybe get a little bit more clarity on, puts information out as he gets it. But what is the incentive here, Gabe, for Jaden Reed's camp to even have this out there? To me, it makes Jaden look bad.
I don't know if this is Drew Rosenhaus, who his new agent, stepping up and going, hey, I'm stepping up for my guy. I'm protecting my guy. I'll go to bat for my guy. And he's letting everybody know that, hey, if you have one of my guys on your team, I'm going to be asking tough questions about my guys on your team. That's the only thing I think I can make it make sense, is that Drew Rosenhaus is trying to flex some muscle here a little bit.
You're 2 years away from a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, but you would typically have those conversations a year from now, because you'd want to have those conversations going into that final year.
But this isn't something that should be made public. I mean, it should be a call. If this is the case, a call to Rosenhaus and say, hey, don't tell anyone this, but what do you guys feel about my client?
Yeah.
You know? Should have been behind closed doors.
But that's just not how Drew Rosenhaus typically works, right? Like, he does everything pretty publicly.
I think these players today just have to be loved, you know? Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, look,
I'm not saying every player, but I mean, these prima donna positions is like, you know. I mean, when Keith came in, I wasn't happy, but I wasn't going to whine about it, you know. It's just competition is good. Competition is good, and it should light a fire under his body. He should sit there and go, you know what? I had a hell of a beginning of the year, and then what happened? I fell off the map. Well, you know what? I'm going to go work at that.
Well,
they say I'm not good against man. I'm going to show them I'm good against man. Not like, Drew, call them up. I want to know if they like me or like me.
Well, and again, I don't know what the impetus was. I don't know if Jaden Reed went to his agent and said, hey, can you just get some clarification? And this is sort of how it rolled out. I don't know if Drew was like, this is ridiculous that they drafted Matthew Golden. Don't they know what they have in you? I'm going to have a conversation with Brian Gutekunst. I don't know what started this whole thing. What I'm still scratching my head over is, why in the world would Brian Gutekunst tell them that he's the number one wide receiver? Jaden Reed, again, like him. Want to be clear. Think he has a lot of potential. Very explosive. Dynamic player. Glad he's a member of the Green Bay Packers. But I went through last night and pulled Jaden Reed's numbers compared to all of the other de facto number one wide receivers in the league. It ain't even close.
He's 45th on that list.
Aren't even close, guys.
If you take a look at his snap count numbers, the Packers don't think he's a number one wide receiver. Especially in the second half of the season last year. I mean, a lot of these numbers are in the 50s. After he had 5 catches for 113 yards against Detroit in week 9, like the highest percent of snaps that he played from week 10 on, just barely over 70%.
Yeah.
Like, he's not out there all that often.
Well, and
they've done research on the numbers show that when they go 2 wide receivers, he's not out there. You have to have 3 wide receivers for him to even be on the field.
Well, they're kind of pigeonholing him as a gadget guy.
Yeah.
Well, and I pulled another number, guys. In the 33 regular season games that the Green Bay Packers have had Jaden Reed for, he has recorded fewer than 5 receptions in 22 of them. That's 2/3. In 2/3 of the games, he has 5 receptions or fewer. When I think of a number one wide receiver, I'm thinking of a guy you're featuring. You are featuring. That's not featured. And again, I'm not saying that any of those things are Jaden Reed's fault. Maybe that's what the conversation was. Maybe the conversation was, hey, we're looking around the league. We'd like to put this guy in a position to be the number one wide receiver, but y'all aren't doing anything to help him out. Maybe that's what the conversation was. But Gabe, were you shocked that as part of this post, it basically said, yeah, he's our guy. He's our number one guy.
And this is something we'll talk to Jason about a little bit. But what's interesting to me is year in and year out on the offensive line, it seems like there's competition. Like Rashid Walker has been in a competition for left tackle every year he's been in Green Bay. He's come out on top every year. He's met that competition and gone, nope, I'm going to be the left tackle. And it looks like he's going to have to do that again. Also, according to Adam Stenovich, it looks like Zach Tom, who is arguably their second, maybe best offensive lineman at the right tackle spot, is also going to be in a competition for the right tackle spot this season.
But just look at
so if those guys have to compete, Jaden Reed just de facto is number one despite spending two of your top three picks on wide receivers?
Because this room is soft. I mean, look, it hasn't even been a year. When did the Romeo Doubs thing go down?
Middle of last year.
So since then, we've had Doubs. We've had Christian Watson's dad. So who knows what went on with those guys. I know it's not him, but it's still out there. Like, what did he say?
Basically, they'll get what they deserve. They don't want to win.
I'm just talking about the room and the drama that comes from that room, and now you got...
Yeah, I don't want to blame Christian for the stupid stuff his dad says.
Look, yes, but when it comes to agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you, because I did it. I'd be pissed at a practice. I'd be pissed at a game or something. You vent to your agent, right? So to me, it sounds like Jaden, I don't think Rosenhaus would pick up the phone if he didn't hear from his client. So he must be hearing things from his client where he needs to be reassured that they love him.
And Rosenhaus is been around long enough where he's just not going to do it on a whim. Like,
no.
I'm sure, like, when the Packers, you've talked about this, how you weren't happy when Keith Jackson first showed up in Green Bay. Sure, you vented to your agent.
Yeah.
But the first time you vented to your agent about it, I'm sure he didn't pick up the phone to Ron Wolf
He never did.
Yeah. No. And just go, hey, Ron, what the hell's going on
here? You know what he probably said to me? Grow up. No, seriously. You know?
Can we use that on you?
Yeah. I don't know if I'll listen.
Doesn't feel like it's going to be effective.
You know?
I have some questions about the inclusion of the top option thing. That feels like, to me, a little editorializing by Mr. Rosenhaus. That feels
when
like...
When he talked to Schefter.
Yes.
If we're following the breadcrumbs.
Yes, correct. That feels like the Packers probably said, yeah, we have plans to use Jaden Reed. He can be great. He's been a useful weapon for us. I don't think there was any conversation of, yeah, he's going to lead the team in targets, yards, and catches. That seems like... You're trying to inflate and publicly put out there that, yeah, my player's good and is still the best option in Green Bay.
But, I mean, I guess he would be probably have to worry more about Savion Williams than Matthew Golden.
Well,
it's him and Golden. I mean, Golden can move around, eventually probably move around, but it's not like they play the same position.
I said it on draft day. This is going to be a big year for Jaden Reed because... If you have a true wide receiver one, like you envision Matthew Golden being, guess what they do with those guys? They play him in the slot, they play him at the X, they play him at the Z. They move them all around, and they make an advantage for him. Basically, when the Packers went three wide receivers, Jaden Reed lined up in the slot every single time. He, interestingly enough, led the team in routes run last year, but he also wasn't on the field for all that much because they were rotating those guys like it was Little League. Everyone gets snaps, everyone plays here, but when they went to two wide receivers, like Gabe said, he wasn't on the field. So now he's going to be losing some of those snaps at the slot position, and he's not going to be available for the two wide receiver sets. So that means your playing time, de facto, is going to be going down.
Which also, if we're listening to the coaching staff and what they're telling us about Tucker Kraft and how they want to get him more involved and maybe have more two tight end sets... That also limits the opportunities for Jaden Reed because if they're going more two tight ends, they're only having two receivers on the field.
I just wonder if it's a way for them to drive down cost of receivers because I don't agree with the way they do this. And I told you guys before, you don't get tired out there. So if they're using the excuse, well, we don't want them to get tired. I never got tired.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get tired, you know, and if you do get tired, you're not in shape. So that whole argument is gone.
I just don't think that any of them are good enough to stay on the field. That's, to me, the biggest problem.
They're trying to figure out what their best option is.
This conversation is all about money.
Jaden Reed being paid like a number one wide receiver eventually.
Is trying to posture. Is he a number one?
No.
You're not a number one right
now. Can I just give you some numbers, guys? Can I give you these numbers? So, Jamar Chase, 127 receptions, 1,700 receiving yards, 17 touchdowns. He's top of the list as far as these wide receivers go, right?
Pretty sure that's Jaden Reed's career.
Justin Jefferson is after that. This is just last season. 103 receptions, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. Give me another name you guys want to hear. CeeDee Lamb, 108, 12, 55, 11 touchdowns. Jaden Reed, 55 receptions. So we're talking about more than half of some of these guys, right? Well, 155, 127. Yeah, a half. 857 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. Like, I couldn't find a metric. Maybe you could look at yards per reception because he was 15.6. So you could argue, like, he when he got the ball, he was able to turn it into long gains. But that is the only area he leads any of these categories.
Can you read off Chase's numbers again from last year?
127, 1708, 17. Is that what you have?
So those numbers are all better than the career numbers of Jaden Reed. Every last one of those. Receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Better than Jaden Reed's last 2 years combined.
And again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and say that Jaden Reed cannot evolve to the number one wide receiver on this team. But at this moment, right now, right here in the present day, in reality, he's not. So it's just interesting to me that there's a report out there that says that Gutekunst and Rosenhaus had this conversation and basically they were like, oh yeah, yeah, he's our guy. He's our number one wide receiver. When you went out and spent draft capital on, again, Matthew Golden, who again, as you guys have said, may play in a different spot on the field, but I think everything is set up for him to be the number one guy. 800-990-3776. Get us your reaction on this conversation. Ron in the 920 says, I'd be careful attributing Goody to anything in that report. It came directly from Drew Show Me the Money, who gave the Goody quote. Again, I think we are conscious of that, that this did, you know, Rosenhaus likely talked to Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter put that post out there. It may not have been exactly how Goody
phrased it
is exactly what I was looking for. Thank you for saving me there, too. We got to take a break because we do want to get to Jason Wilde this morning and get his reaction on that. Plus, the coordinators did speak yesterday. What popped from those conversations? We'll talk about it right after this.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because there's no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now. Pella offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. Set up a free in-home consultation. You commit to nothing at this point. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, by the way. I've got my free in-home consultation coming up tomorrow. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin coming to my house tomorrow. Take a look at the windows, especially my front door. I'm thinking my front door could be a little problematic, and I may need a new front door at our house. They're going to listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions apply. Deal ends May 31st, 2025. All you need to do is visit PellaWI.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know every now and then I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think's a pretty good deal. Right. Which gets me in trouble. Right.
You got a Viagra ring?
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Keep getting us your reaction on the Jaden Reed update, which is that his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, met with Brian Gutekunst to discuss his position on the team. Ryan from Milwaukee weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Hey, at least Reed finally has some number one receiver diva energy.
True.
And again, I want to be careful because I don't know if we should attribute this to Reed. It is distinctly possible to you that he's venting to his agent,
yeah,
which who hasn't? About, you know, the way that things are shaking out and what your roles are and whatnot. But I don't know then if Rosenhaus probably then needed to have a conversation with Goody. What I'm curious about is what happened in that conversation. To me, it defies logic that Brian Gutekunst would have said today on May, whatever it is, yes, obviously, Jaden Reed is our number one wide receiver. Why the hell would you do that when you just drafted Matthew Golden and you have high hopes for him, Gabe?
Yeah, I don't think Goody would do that. It's not consistent with this theme of competition that they want across the offense.
Well, you can't trust Rosenhaus, but I don't trust Goody either.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
publicly...
He's talked out both sides of his mouth.
Yeah, publicly has certainly done that. I guess I have no idea what he's like behind closed doors dealing with agents.
Yeah. But Jen, me and Gabe are just talking, like, okay, he's the number one receiver in Green Bay. He would be three on half the teams in the NFC. He'd be three on Dallas. He'd be three on Philly. He'd be three on Washington. He'd be three on the Bears, Lions, Vikings, Tampa Bay, the Rams. You'd be a three. He's our one.
If he was the one, they wouldn't
just
be
go play football.
They wouldn't have looked to upgrade the position.
If you go play football, things take care of themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? This whole whatever, I get it, because I don't know if you guys know that, but football players bitch.
Really?
But they don't need to get to the level where they get into the media or it becomes a problem.
Right, and again, I would hope that all of us would have that luxury.
Yes.
I talked to my agent about certain things.
Sure.
Hey, how come this shook out this way? I was in the conversation for this. All of a sudden, boop, gone. What happened? I don't expect all of a sudden for the public to become aware that I'm having that conversation with my agent. It's supposed to, you know, be that confidence. But what I don't understand is this idea of, even from a Rosenhaus, to be honest with you, saving seats. We're saving seats here for you. Oh, no, you can't sit there. That's Jaden Reed's seat.
Yeah.
That's his spot. That, to me, flies in the face of everything I have known about an NFL locker room. You know, and again, we talked about Ja'Marr Chase. We talked about Justin Jefferson. The list is lengthy here, guys, of number one wide receivers in the league. I pulled it up last night, whose numbers are significantly better than what Jaden Reed did last year. And I know you're going to throw in my face, well, but it was wide receiver by committee, Jen. It was the whole group, the sum of the parts. Okay, but that's where I would also argue, what has Jaden Reed done that you think he deserves that distinction?
You don't go by committee for anything. Literally anything. You don't do that by committee if you have the guy. In baseball, starter by committee. If you got a number one guy, you're trotting him out there every 5 days. You're not having the Johnny Holstaff games all that often. And again, if you've got a top running back, you're not going, running back by committee.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. You're not doing wide receiver by committee if you have Justin Jefferson.
So to me,
if you have CeeDee Lamb,
goes back to what you have always said, Gabe, which is nobody emerged.
No.
They gave you the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And again, I understand how these conversations could go. Rosenhaus is saying, right, but he was sharing snaps with all of these guys. What did you say the targets numbers were? You had the targets numbers.
So Jaden Reed, number two last year in targets behind Dontavian Wicks. Romeo Doubs on a per game basis was the top guy. He played 13 games, had 72 targets, was third total on the team. And then Tucker Kraft in 17 games had 70 targets for the Packers.
Just look at the tight end position, right? And go back 2 years? 2 years. Rookie years for 2 years, right? Musgrave was the guy.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, Kraft emerges and like, Musgrave, you're not the guy.
Yeah, because Musgrave got hurt.
Kraft, you're the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you said, no one's done that in the receiver. The only thing that's inconsistent about the Rosenhaus thing, when it comes to Goody, why on God's green earth would he say that about Reed when now he's saying there's competition at right tackle?
It's what makes me think.
That was from the coordinator speaking yesterday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so Adam Stenovich said that they are having a competition at left tackle, going to be a competition at right tackle. They want their two best guys out there because they've got a lot of guys who can play that position.
I know Zach Tom's a quiet kind of guy, but I guarantee he's still calling his agent going, they donned this guy number one, and I've been doing this for 3 years now, and I'm a second-team All-Pro, and now all of a sudden I'm dealing with competition.
Keep
now,
being told that there's a competition
correct.
At my position.
Yes. Now, I get it. That's probably to keep costs down. And I will say this. I'm not paying Zach Tom Penny Sewell money. I'm just not. I don't like a ton of money going into your offensive line. I just don't. Because it's shown you don't need a ton of money
to go
into the offensive line to be successful. Well, I mean, you got Elton making a ton.
He's not, so his contract isn't terrible. Elton Jenkins this year's cap hit is 17.6.
That's still a lot, though, isn't it?
Not in today's
NFL. And
then
you got Banks.
Yeah, in 1996 money.
Oh, that's Brett Favre money. Banks.
Yeah, you just paid banks. But again, that's and not like gonna,
I mean, are you paying Zach Tom $22 million?
I think about it.
I think right tackles are kind of, you can find them. Left tackles are a little harder to find.
I would think about, I mean, obviously the Packers, that's a decision they have to make this offseason. And I'm wondering now if there's going to be competition at right tackle. I thought they were going to give.
Why would they say that?
I don't know. I thought they were going to give Zach Tom a contract.
Other than to drive the cost down, which is a stupid way to negotiate, right? Oh, you want $20 million and you're an all-pro? We're going to have competition at your position. I mean, that's just stupid. Why would they say that? Why?
That's where I go back to Joshy saying, maybe Rosenhaus kind of just spun this the way he wanted it to be spun.
Cook the books.
Yeah.
I also want us to look back at, remember Josh Jacobs and his tour at the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
And needing a wide receiver one?
Yep.
Dontavian Wick's tweet is still out there. Jayden Reed's is not, in reaction to it, where he said, damn, OG, and then deleted the tweet. And then subsequently followed it by a critique of the fan base of how you will throw your own players under the bus.
He's just being honest.
To think this is not directly from Jayden Reed, to me, I think would be stretching what it seems logical here. He obviously feels like his spot isn't for certain, and he thinks he's deserving of more playing time and more consideration.
Okay, you can think that you're deserving of more playing time, Joshy. I get that. That's the athlete's mentality. That's the competitiveness that we want all of these guys to have coursing through their veins. But based on what?
Preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, as a player, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, I'm not going into Holmgren going, why am I not on more fly routes? Why don't you send me deep? Why? Well, you're not as fast as other guys. That shouldn't matter. You're hurting my feelings. That's what the receiver room is now. You're hurting my feelings. I mean, get over it. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look what you need to improve on. Look what you cannot do. And move on.
You're a big guy. You had ups. You could have won some jump balls on the nine route. Oh, right. Going up over DBs.
But he's got to get to the spot on the field if he's Fair. 5 yards behind.
Fair. Yeah, back shoulder it.
You know?
Back shoulder it. I've got a lot of options for my but big guy. You're running the nine route.
I don't think these guys look in the mirror. I think they think they're perfect, you know?
And maybe that's why they need to...
I mean, there's a reason.
Maybe that's why they infused it the way they did with two of their top three picks being wide receivers.
I was just going to say, there's a reason they took receivers with the first and third pick.
I want to take this one step further, guys. Let's hypothesize out. Let's say we get through training camp, and it is obvious that Golden, with his speed and with his skill set, is the clear number one wide receiver. How does Jayden Reed take it? How does Jayden Reed handle it? Can he swallow that? Is that a thing that he can deal with? Or do now we have a thing that we're working through in the season? You know, because we were all very surprised by the way that Romeo Doubs handled that situation. We're like, where did this even come from? Now, I'm worried that this could be a breadcrumb. This could be foreshadowing. You know, and that's not good for that room.
That's no, because we already have to worry about Romeo Doubs. Like, that's already a concern of if this guy emerges, how does Doubs handle it? Because he didn't handle the situation well last year, even when he was the top target guy.
I think Doubs knows he's not coming back. But the guy that better get his ass in gear is Wicks. Okay? Because he's close to getting out of town, too. I mean, all the talk we heard last year is, hoo-wee, we may have a number one in Wicks. We may have a number one. Not a number.
So far, he's the only one who seemed to have taken the hits in stride.
He also reacted to...
He did. Josh Jacobs was a little more on the fun side of playing. His agent hasn't complained yet.
That's not... I don't want that to be the biggest positive of Dontavian Wicks.
Well, we got one guy who skipped work and another whose agent's complaining. Right now, Dontavian Wicks is the only one showing up to work and doing what he's supposed
to. Leader in the clubhouse. I want to be very clear, guys, and we have said this throughout this conversation. I really like Jayden Reed. I think y'all really like Jayden Reed and what he has done thus far. This is unusual. This is strange behavior. We're just trying to get a handle on it. And then again, project out like, okay, so let's say that you aren't the number one wide receiver. Let's say it's clear that Matthew Golden seizes that spot, goes ahead and grabs it, and doesn't relinquish it. You good? Can you handle it? Are we going to be okay? Are we going to be able to move forward as a team and as a unit, as an offense? Or is this going to be a thing that then starts to unravel? Yeah.
This isn't a bad thing. I don't want the fans to think this is bad. This is good. This is really good. This is great. This is what you want going into training camp, because you're going to see who works their ass off and who rises to the top, and you're going to see the guys who pout and drop to the bottom. This is not bad. I love it. I think this is wonderful, because it happened to me, and I rose, baby.
Gross.
What?
For your next night out,
using my babies now?
Fusion of artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate, offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. You can't do that every time now. It's not the thing. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
he also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Change of plans on this Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will have Jason Wilde at the top of the hour, so he will come your way at 8 a.m. talk a little Green Bay Packers, what the coordinator said yesterday up at 1265. So it sounds like the schedule is starting to roll out. What do we know so far, Gabe, about when the Packers will play?
We know two games. Earlier today, Shefty tweeted out that Packers-Eagles are on Monday Night Football, week 10, November 10th. That game will be at Lambeau Field. And then Packers-Bears on the 20th will be week 16.
November 20th?
December 20th. December 20th, 5 days before Christmas. They will be playing a Saturday game that is going to be going up against a college football triple header with the opening round of the college football playoff.
Which of those games are you more excited for, Chu? Rematch against the Eagles or the new look Bears? There it is.
Eagles.
I'm so glad you're proving me right, by the way.
He's going to keep belching in your reads.
Yeah. Now, Bears, I'm not buying into the Bears at all. Even though I think they will be a little better with
you're not allowed.
Sorry,
you're not
take
allowed.
It back.
Not you're, allowed.
I did say you could slap me.
He needs a yardstick like
yeah,
back in the Catholic school days,
yes.
Right? Across the desk, just bam, yep. Every time.
Sorry, I take that back.
All right.
Thank you, Gabe.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep you honest.
Yes.
And Josh, you had a theory about another date/competitor opponent. What was it?
Yeah, it would seem to follow that if you're playing on that Saturday Island game, you would give the extra rest to the teams you have playing on Christmas, which is a Thursday. They did last year where they basically swapped the teams. Now, that was different because it was on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. The Christmas was. But as you get towards the end of the season, if you want to pretend you care about player safety, it would make sense that you would give that extra day of rest to those three teams that are going to be playing, well, four teams. No, six.
There's six.
Yeah. You would give as much rest to those teams as humanly possible based on their schedule. So it would look like and would seem like, because also on that Saturday that was announced, the Commanders and Eagles are playing. So now that we know the Eagles and Packers are playing at a different time, looks like a home Lambeau game on Christmas would make a lot of sense.
Against the Commanders.
But correct. Based on that theory, Bears-Eagles would also be playing on Christmas, which they are not. They are playing on Black Friday.
Yeah, why would college go up against the NFL?
Well,
that's
we're going to talk about that.
Stupid well, to me.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
We're going to
okay.
get to that. Very good. That's a tease by the big
so, yes. I'm not bought in that the Packers are playing on Christmas. And if they do, I'm not sure if they're going to be playing the Commies. Because again, those other two teams, Bears and Eagles, who do play each other, would be playing on Black Friday on Amazon Prime.
If I were to make a bet, the Packers play on Christmas.
I do like the dueling theories, though, guys. Whose theory do you buy, Joshy's or Gabe's?
Well, but Joshy's theory's already been proven wrong.
Well, part of it, but not the Packers part of it.
Do you think maybe the NFL would like some snowy shots of Lambeau Field on Christmas Day?
I thought that last year, too. Guess what they didn't do?
What day of the week is it?
It's a Thursday.
I can win with that.
They've got two Netflix games and then a prime game on Thursday night. So a Christmas triple header for the NFL this year. Right.
I'm the only one that has a problem talking about Christmas in May.
Yes.
No.
Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.